To begin our program today, developers are about to become the owners of 30 acres of city land straddling Lansing and East Lansing. Monday evening, the Lansing City Council approved the sale of the former Red Cedar Golf Course property to Ferguson Continental Lansing LLC. Developer Joel Ferguson and his partner Frank Cass want to build a $276 million complex at the site that could include a 10-story hotel, restaurant, and housing. Part of the site would remain green space. Many in Greater Lansing are hoping for great things from the Red Cedar Renaissance. Our next guest sees it as an opportunity to contain urban sprawl and help clean up the Red Cedar River. Ingham County Drain Commissioner Pat Lindemann says he envisions a low-impact design for the development that would control pollution at its source. To share more on the project, which is one of over 30 he's currently at work on, we welcome back Pat Lindemann to Current State. Nice to see you.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Talk to us about your role in this right now. I know it's a big, long, hairy process that goes on for months and years, but where in this process is your office right now?
Well, we're in the thick of it, I suppose, is a good way to put it. It's a project that started many, many, many years ago. In the 1990s, we looked at how to rebuild that drain system and the infrastructure therein. And it is one of 236 discharges into the river that my office is in charge of. And it is one of the most polluted out of all of those. And if we're ever going to clean a river, we have to start looking at all of these 236 discharges. The Montgomery Drain, which encompasses a watershed of somewhere around 350 acres or more, it goes to the north past Saginaw and Grand River, and it discharges into the Red Cedar. Right about the middle part of the old golf course there.
And are you saying that the Montgomery Drain discharge into the Red Cedar is one of 236?
Discharges that my office is in charge of, yes.
Okay, but the Red Cedar does go on a ways.
People locally. And it goes into Livingston County, yeah, which also has some discharges in, yeah, there too. So I guess the goal, as laid out under the Federal Clean Water Act, is to find these discharges and correct them.
But the Joel Ferguson's and Frank Cass's vision here is an opportunity for you, is it not?
It's an opportunity for both of us. Yeah. Yes, it's a partnership, a symbiotic relationship where the drain project and the infrastructure rebuilding is a catalyst for economic development and job creation. It's a marriage made in heaven, if you will.
You're anticipating creating a design. Infrastructure that involves water for this development, assuming it doesn't get hung up somehow. Talk to us about what's on your short list of design features.
Well, let's talk about what happens today, because I think it's important to understand what happens. We have a discharge where, for example, I put a teaspoon of orange dye in a catch basin in front of Joanne's Fabric, okay, and Frandor's parking lot.
Yeah.
I got in my car and drove down to Kalamazoo Street, parked my car, went to the river, and the orange dye is already there. So whatever comes off that watershed, it's an 80% impervious watershed. It flushes immediately into the river. So
the dye beat you to the discharge point?
Yes, and I had a car.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah, I thought it was too. And that's the way the watershed functions today. What we're going to do is interrupt that flow. We're going to give an opportunity for the water to be collected at its source and move through a series of treatment trains that would be filters, biofilters, sediment ponds, and those kinds of things that would collect the water and then manipulate it in a way that allows it to go to the river in a slower pace, but wind up at the river clean. So we aren't discharging filthy water into the river anymore.
What about costs here? I mean, I imagine there are Cadillac designs and there are Chevrolet designs and there are all kinds of different designs with different features and price tags.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we're working on the most cost-effective way to do this. We don't have a final design, so I can't really tell you what the cost is, but we're looking, as it turns out, low-impact design and source control is far cheaper than traditional methods of handling water. So building a ditch or a wetland or digging a hole in the ground to put it in is so much cheaper than putting a lot of concrete piping and curbing and that kind of thing. Usually low-impact design averages around somewhere in the vicinity of about 30% of the traditional costs. So we can handle this, I think, and do it economically, so it's not a burden on the residents and the property owners that are already there.
Whose dollars will pay for this infrastructure? Well, for whatever design you put together,
sure.
Whose dollars will pay for that?
An assessment will happen to the municipalities. The municipalities will then choose how they want to pay it. They can pay it by paying it out of their general fund, or they can pay it by assessing some to the property owners. But that process is quite a ways down the road yet. We still have to get to a design and get to a price, and then we argue who pays and the percentage of who benefits, basically. But if you add in the factor that the golf course right now is not on the tax rolls, they're collecting nothing from it, and you put roughly $300 million into it, and all of a sudden you have taxable property that adds a lot of income back to the city to meet the obligations that are necessary to clean up this infrastructure. This is a win-win for everybody. You get new jobs, you get revitalization of an inner city, which is really the key component to really helping our environment. Rebuilding our inner core is the way that we have to go to save our environment. We keep sprawling outward, taking up into what I call the hinterland, and you build subdivisions and malls out in the hinterland, and all of that is very detrimental to trying to stabilize our natural resources. And this is one great, big, huge, giant step toward remedying part of that.
Pat Lindeman is Ingham County Drain Commissioner. He is our guest here today on Current State, and we're focusing, for now at least, on the Red Cedar Renaissance and Montgomery Drain projects in Lansing and East Lansing. There has been some legal activity, court activity involving the liability of whatever goes in there. Can you update us on where that stands right now? Some of these municipalities were getting very concerned about, the price tag for this thing.
Well, there was a series of lawsuits. Of course, it makes people nervous, and I truly understand their nervousness when you don't have a price. But if you have a desire to, for example, buy a house, how do you know what your house cost is going to be till you pick one out? I mean, you just don't know. There's a process, and the process that I have to go through by law is an open process. So from the time that we see a problem and create a desire to fix it, there's a gap in there before you find out what the cost of fixing it really is. We have a lot of data collection to finish yet. We have a lot of data now. We know that all the current infrastructure that's in the ground, a lot of it's in really good shape, so we can reuse it. We don't have to reinvent all that stuff. So that's going to cut down on the cost, of course, too. The lawsuits are generated out of, I think, a fear of some assessment that they're going to receive in the future. I've met with the litigants, and
this is the City of East Lansing, Lansing Township. Who else was involved?
And the Fran Dorison properties.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I've met with them. I continue to meet with them. I'm going to be just met about 3 or 4 weeks ago with the Fran Dor people, and I'll be meeting with East Lansing again soon, and we'll have communication with Lansing Township again.
You confident this will be resolved? I mean, the Lansing Township suit is still in the court system, is
sure.
it not? It's going to the Supreme
well,
Court.
Well, this is a good way to look at it. We don't really know, what the impact of the assessment is going to be, because we don't know what the amount is, or the percentages by which it's going to be paid. It's almost like complaining about labor pains and you're not pregnant yet. It's
premature.
It's premature. Yeah. But we're going to get to a point where we know how much it is, and then we will have an opportunity to argue that, in a proper forum. And there'll be a time for a lawsuit to take place if they choose to do that. But I think concentrating on those, we'll get past all that eventually, and we're going to build this. And when we build it, it's going to reform Michigan Avenue. It's going to unite East Lansing and Lansing together, and MSU. It's going to make it part of a broader community. The bus rapid transit system that they're trying to put in along Michigan Avenue is going to add even more excitement to this process.
Are the municipalities involved? Are you feeling pressure from the municipalities involved to go for a Chevrolet design as opposed to a Cadillac design? Is that already part of your discussions here?
No, nor is my personal desire to go for one or the other. I want to go for whatever solves the problem. We have a problem. We're going to try to solve it. And we'll do it in the most economic way possible.
Aren't there more? There are more comprehensive ways to attack a problem and less comprehensive ways to attack a problem, depending on dollars available. Okay.
The end decision is, do we solve the pollution or not? And that's the decision we're going to make.
Carol Wood of the Lansing City Council told me over the weekend about the bonding, I guess $38 million worth, according to her, that the city needs to pursue in order to build what's called the plinth for the Red Cedar Renaissance. What is a plinth?
A plinth is a Greek word. It's used in architectural terminology, and it means support structure or support. And the idea is that the land as it sits today is unbuildable. It's too low in the floodplain, and you can't put any structures in it at all. To make it usable at all, you have to actually build a platform to build something on. The plinth is the platform.
Okay.
Okay, so if you look at it from a broader perspective, and you look at all the communities in the United States, almost all of the major communities in the United States are built around waterways. Their downtowns are in floodplains. Is the idea that we're not ever going to exist in a floodplain? I think that that's kind of a silly notion, because we'd have to pick these communities up and move them someplace else. So the concept of trying to live in a floodplain and do no harm because of our living there and building there, then that brings us to some technology that we have to live with, and that is, in this case, building a plinth, a platform to build something on.
Would that plinth address any potential flooding issues in that neighborhood?
Absolutely.
That would have to, and that has to be a part of the design.
Absolutely.
That plinth,
yes,
essentially solves any flooding problem in the Urbandale neighborhood, I think.
No,
it's
it doesn't solve problems in the Urbandale neighborhood.
I'm sorry. Okay. Urbandale is nearby, but
yes,
it's not that
it solves problems in the direct place they're going to put the buildings. It allows you to exist in a floodplain while doing no harm to the floodplain. We want the floodwaters to interact the way that they're supposed to. They are going to come. Anytime you declare war on water, water always wins. So we want to be a passive partner with water and allow it to go where it wants to go, and still allow us to have a hotel and living quarters and exist in that space. The floodwaters are going to come occasionally, and when they come, we'll get out of the way and let them come. And after that, we have all kinds of time and energy that we can spend to live and act and work and enjoy this kind of development.
We're just about out of time, but could I hit you with one more question? The mercury spill at the East Lansing Wastewater Treatment Plant that took place almost a year and a half ago has been in the news more again lately. What's your responsibility when there's a mercury spill and it's known that some goes down a drain?
Chasing mercury down a river is a very tough thing to do. The quickest way to prevent that is to put in proper procedures that it just doesn't happen, and have proper trained staff and make sure that your procedures prevent that kind of thing.
Does East Lansing have some work to do in that area?
I think we all have to practice our emergency response stuff and our handling of hazardous waste. I think that's a constant educational process we all have to go through.
Okay. Lots more things to talk about, but we're out of time. We appreciate you coming in here today. Pat Lindemann is Ingham County Drain Commissioner. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.